Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at The Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. This is Kyle Bruston Northman, KBN, on ESPN Wisconsin. Here's Kyle Wallace, Ben Brust, and Brad Northman.
A day removed from Father's Day, but of course, there's more fathers that we hear from the Green Bay Packers, players and former players, than I've heard from any fathers in any sports I've ever been a part of. I guess if you go back to Little League in high school, parents do get involved, but at the professional level, it is, we're reaching a lot of conversation from parents. Did you ever hear from any parents in your day, like of players?
Ooh, no.
You're playing for the Jags or the Panthers?
I don't think so. Dads are mostly just in the stands, supporting their kids. You give them a voice, and I guess this is what can happen, though.
You don't plan on being those dads, do you?
No.
Yelling at refs and yelling at umpires?
No.
It's not that serious.
It's really not.
It's
That's
children.
The thing.
Like, it's not about winning and losing. It's about teaching them life lessons they can take with them.
I think it's oftentimes the people that haven't achieved their own goals that put that out there for their kids. I'm thankful that I was able to
I was able to make it to the NFL.
It sounds like
Shut
a jerk.
Up, Brad.
It sounds like a jerk. But for real, you're able to see it
Flex
for what it is.
On
then.
Us.
You're able to see it for what it is then. It actually puts things into perspective.
Sorry, I'm a loser.
Unlike, if it wasn't for those knees, Kyle, who knows? Who knows what you could have done on the Brookfield Central field?
Thanks, Brad.
Well, Jair Alexander's father has entered the chat. And basically, we're at this point now where the Packers, historically, at the end of veteran players' careers, have been a little stubborn on how far they're willing to go. The example that stands out most to me is Jordy Nelson, somebody who was productive for the Green Bay Packers, was willing to take a pay cut, but they didn't even really offer him a seat at the table. And he made like 11 or 12 for the Raiders the next year, had a solid season, but definitely could have contributed to the Green Bay Packers. We don't exactly know, right? But from reports from Jair Alexander's dad is that they didn't offer him really anything that could have been something that he could sign because none of it was guaranteed, or the majority of it wasn't guaranteed.
Crazy.
So when you hear that, what do you think about the Green Bay Packers and their approach? Because this isn't new, right? I'm not shocked. The only thing that doesn't make sense to me is, if this was the case, why did it take so long? And why did we say that everything was on the table? It was open to resolution. And then the resolution was our way or the highway.
Oh, no, you missed something. He said we need to get something back for our asset. So don't just make it seem like, oh, no. The reason why they didn't cut him before, they were talking about, we got to get something back for our asset. He said that. That's what Goody said.
So yeah,
that's why I'm confused.
And I just don't understand. It's the same old Packers. What's it going to take before the Packers learn that they need to be reasonable? I mean, it's really unbelievable how they treat veterans walking out the door. And you know what? If they want to cut somebody, if they don't see a guy as part of their plans for the next year or for the future, that's totally fine. Just cut him when you know, so you can let him find another place to be and move on. But they had this thing where they waited it out. And then when push comes to shove, they offer the player, whether it be Jordy Nelson or Jair Alexander, sort of an insultingly low contract. Don't quote me on this, but I believe for Jordy Nelson, he's willing to come back, take a pay cut, and they offered him like
$2 to $3 million
a year. That's a lot of money for, you know, the world. But that's insultingly low for a great NFL player. And I would guess, I have nothing to bank this on, but if Jair's dad's saying that he was basically given a contract to play basically for free, he's probably played. They probably offered him $2 to $3, maybe $4 million with some low incentives, but probably not even getting back to where he is. So why don't they just cut him? The Packers feel this need, it seems, to add insult to injury by not just saying, you know what, it makes sense for us both to go our separate ways and we wish you luck. They give you this like insultingly low contract that no one's going to take. If you're working a job and you make $60,000 a year, and your boss is like, you know what, we want to go in a different direction, but you can come back, but we're going to pay you $10,000 a year. You'd be like, what the heck? It's such a bizarre tactic. I don't understand it. It ruins goodwill that people have grown by being a Green Bay Packer. Aaron Jones felt the same thing, where it's just like either cut them early and let it roll, or give them a contract that's reasonable. This is not unlike if you are like trying to end a relationship with a girlfriend and you're just being unreasonable and being rude, and you're just trying to poison the relationship as much as possible and making them break up with you. It makes no sense in professional sports world. I don't understand it. Either cut the man early and you're not part of it, great, everyone go their separate ways, or give him a real contract. This lower level insulting contract as they leave the door, it's just, it's a bad look for an otherwise reputable organization.
Quick question for you, Bradley. Because you wanted to compete in your sixth year, mm-hmm. your second with the Jaguars, they drafted a punter. It was a Logan Cook.
Correct.
Who recently got signed. He's still with the team.
Yep, he's doing
great.
Right.
He's very good.
Yes.
Cool.
But what would have happened if you competed? Would you have been under contract, the same contract? Would you have needed a new contract? Would you have preferred to go, like, are you happy they let you look elsewhere? Like, how does that all play out from that perspective?
Well, it's a good point. So they released me after the draft. So rosters were at 90. I was released at that moment. If another team were going to bring me on, they'd have to cut somebody else to bring me on. I would either prefer to have been cut in, like, free agency. If they said, you know what, we know we're drafting a punter, we know we don't want Brad, let's just cut him now. So at least that way I could sign in an offseason program mm-hmm. and actually be able to take a roster spot. They cut me at what I would say was a disadvantageous time for me, or I wish they'd let me just compete, be on a roster, have some pregame footage, and then do well and hopefully land on a different team. It goes back to like this middling path that I feel like they did with Jair Alexander. Jair is going to get picked up somewhere because he's that good. They should have just released him or traded him back then, or found a way to actually put him on the roster. It's just confusing to me why they're middling it. And from my experience, and maybe I'm a little bit jaded, cut me early or let me be a part of it as part of something reasonable.
Yeah, when I look at this, I love my Green Bay Packers organization. Y'all know I do. I love the G, but I will say this. When you're so successful and you win a lot, it leads to a sense of arrogance. And the Green Bay Packers have clearly shown that they're an arrogant organization at the way they run themselves. Because for me, what they did to Jair and what they've done to so many other veterans is downright disrespectful, the way that they treat him on the way out the door. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. Because what I don't like about this is that the Packers will build you up.
They do, but string them along.
But as soon as something comes up, they will cut you and they'll lowball you with those offers. And what's crazy to me is right now we're looking at two things, right? You had the Jair Alexander situation where a guy did not play up to what they thought was the contract, right? And since the Green Bay Packers felt like he wasn't playing up to the contract, they weren't willing to pay him. They told him, we're willing to give you pennies and you can earn back what we want you to earn back. If you don't want it, oh well, right? They're willing to say that. But then on the other side, you have Elgton Jenkins, who is being a great teammate, I would say, with saying, you know what, I'm going to move from the guard position where I've been a really good, solid guy. I'm almost 30, and you're asking me to move to center. Well, now, what you asked me to move to center, I want to have some guarantees in there so I'm not ending up like these other veterans that you may release, and all of a sudden I'm losing on this money, and then I'm going to a market at a center position at the age of 30 where I won't get paid as much money. And the Green Bay Packers are dragging their feet on that, and they allowed for him to sit out of OTAs because they weren't ready to negotiate, I guess, with Elgton Jenkins. And so that's my biggest issue with the Green Bay Packers, is the fact that when it came to Jair Alexander and him not performing up to something, they're ready to move on from him. But when it comes to Elgton Jenkins, who not only has performed to the level of his contract, but also being a team player, willing to have them sign another guy at left guard and him move into center for the betterment of the team, and the Green Bay Packers are not going to be in a rush to re-sign him or guarantee a deal, that's messed up about the Green Bay Packers. The arrogance of winning, where you're always trying to get the best deal. Stop being Kyle Walls, Green Bay Packers. Be a real organization that likes to pay people.
Mike chimes in on the Carbless Talk and Text Line that tough decisions require tough leadership, fellas.
But if you want to, it was clearly a contract that says we don't want you. So why even offer it? Just cut him. That's what I don't understand.
I was also going to say tougher decisions require tough leadership, but also at the same time, is this a position where you're in a place to be all above the player and just put your G in front of everyone and say, this is how we do it. I don't know why I went there, but I went there. Just wanted to sing.
I like that. Montel Jordan, baby.
Ben Bruss, Kyle Wallace, Brad Nortman here with you. We'll get some more insight coming up next here. And we'll ask Jason our poll question of the day because it's based off Jen, Gabe, and Chewy's poll question and Wildy and Tausch's poll question. Jason Wildy joins us next on Kyle, Brust, and Nortman.
You're listening to Kyle, Brust, and Nortman.
If I was as tall and as talented as you, if I could shoot as well as you could, both them teams would have won. Because you know what?
Okay.
You did a fake punch, you said, in the Rose Bowl?
Yeah.
And I would have did a fake point. I would have took it to the house. I would have scored a dang touchdown.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving.
The Wolf of Wall Street was on the other day when I was flipping through channel. Great family film.
Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year.
I'm a naturally inquisitive person.
Holding everybody accountable.
If you feel better about that, I'm happy to do so.
Jason Wildy is on Kyle, Brust, and Nortman.
You're the big voice. That is Jason Wildy joining us here on Kyle, Brust, and Nortman. Listen to Jason on Wildy and Tausch 9 to noon across these very stations. Jason, how are you?
Great. How are you guys?
Doing well, as per usual. Just had a conversation about Jair Alexander's dad entering the chat, saying, "Did you not hear about Jair?" Not the actual chat.
He's not in the YouTube comments like Baron Sorrell's dad was during our show.
Correct. And I still get 99 okay. Will Shine every day from Baron Sorrell's father on YouTube at ESPN Hi. Milwaukee. So it's good to see that he's still very excited for his son to be a Green Bay Packer. But Jair's dad basically said the Packers had offered him basically next to nothing guaranteed. And so it just gets to the conversation of the Jordy Nelsons of the world, the Aaron Jones of the world. Why do you feel as if it took so long? Like, they clearly tried to trade him. Then we got to the resolution potentially phase, and the resolution was ending up cutting him. What's the purpose of throwing out such a low contract if it's not even attainable for the player to do?
Yeah, I don't know, and I don't know why they kept this up, because he wasn't willing to take a pay cut, and he wasn't willing to do it for them. He wasn't willing to do it for somebody else that he'd be traded to. So it seems to me like it was just prolonging the inevitable. Now, you know, the idea behind any sort of negotiation would have been to take the $16 million he was scheduled to make this season and guarantee some of it, and then have him have the opportunity to earn back the rest of it. I assume that they didn't want to guarantee any of it and just wanted it to be base salary, and then the rest of whatever's left would be incentivized, because they wanted the freedom to get to the end of training camp, and if he was a malcontent or whatever, then they were going to cut him. So, you know, this doesn't surprise me at all.
But like, just real quick, in regards to the pay cut, it was reported that the star cornerback right here from this article said he was not willing to take a pay cut. That report may not have been true because of this quote from his dad. This is not true. Nobody ever said that he wouldn't take a pay cut. He wasn't willing to play for damn near free is a better quote. That was from Jair's father.
Yeah, I mean, look, we're all, those of us that are dads who just celebrated Father's Day, we're all going to be protective of our kids, whether they're 14, 20, 28 in Jair's case. Again, I don't know what the offer, you know, and what is an offer? Is it a conversation? Is it it's not like they've set on the desk a fully written out contract, I'm guessing. So they were, you know, Goody classified it as conversations. But Goody's claim, so, you know, Goody and Mr. Alexander can have a chat off in the chat, as you phrased it, because Goody basically said, look, they weren't interested in a pay cut, so there was really nothing to talk about. So whoever's telling the truth, I don't know, but if they never reach the point of saying, okay, how much do we have to take in incentives, and how much are you going to guarantee, not just make base salary, but guarantee, then there was no reason for him to be at the negotiating table, because if you're willing to give up money in a pay cut and you're also still on the hook for your base salary and none of that's guaranteed either, then you might as well just push this to the end and get yourself cut, which is exactly what he did, which I maintain is still the smartest thing to do if they didn't have a lot of confidence in him. But, you know, I guess I would say to Mr. Alexander, a lesson that I have learned myself as a parent is sometimes it's just better not to say anything. But I get it. He's defending his kid, and God bless him for it.
Jason, if there is any truth to what Jair's dad is saying, look, let's say they did offer a very low contract, and who knows what that might look like to try to, you know, incentivize him to come back. My concern is it reflects the trend of the Green Bay Packers where they take veterans, because it could be Jordy Nelson or Aaron Jones or maybe now Jair Alexander, veterans, and they just, instead of just cutting them, they offer an incredibly low ball offer that's almost insulting on the way out the door. Do you get the feeling that players in the locker room are aware of this? Because when I was in Carolina and Jacksonville, guys got wise pretty quickly as to how the organization does business. And I just feel like a lack of trust between players and organization is never a good thing. Do you have a pulse on if the players view that? Because I know Aaron Rodgers was sure upset when he reflected that several years ago.
Yeah, I would say this, Brad. I would say that if the Packers are trying to win the PR battle there, their thought process is, well, then we can say, hey, we made him an offer. Right, that's what they did with Jordy. They also did it with Devontae Adams. Don't forget, they also did it with Devontae Adams.
Good point,
right?
Jason.
Like after they had chosen not to make any sort of offer whatsoever to him, in training camp going into the 21 season, that they moved that basically then they offered more than the Raiders on his way out the door. And I still have Packers fans who bring that up all the time, and so. On those Packers fans, it worked, right? It worked because they're falling for the banana in the tailpipe because it's not really an offer. And so in the case of Jordy Nelson, for sure, because I know that there's multiple people that have told me this, that the offer to Jordy Nelson was 1 year, $2 million.
Oh, my gosh.
And his own teammates, the quarterback, and the wide receiver that they didn't want him preventing from developing into the number one. Well, everyone knew then that Devontae Adams was already the number one, and including Jordy, by the way. They were the ones who told Jordy, look, you can't take this. He was going to take it anyway because he wanted one more year with those guys and one more year with the Packers, and then he wanted to retire. So instead, he says, no, but now you have plausible deniability. I don't know why we need to necessarily relitigate this other than whether it's applicable to Jair Alexander. But that was in 2018. Jordy ended up getting, what, $14 million from the Raiders?
Yeah, anywhere from 12 to 14.
Guaranteed.
Dang.
And so the point that Rodgers and Devontae were making is, look, we love you, man. Like, we'd love to have you for another year, but this is disrespectful. And so that was basically their message is, look, you cannot do this. And my understanding is that Jordy was ready to take it just so he could have that one last season, a last dance, if you will, with those guys in 2018.
Well, Jason, what do you make of Goody's approach? Like, do you believe that he's on the right path of bringing a top-tier title-contending team to Green Bay? Because I think he's a very good general manager, but I am a little concerned about getting over that hump. You think he's doing all the right
things?
Well,
how can he be? Right. I guess my question would be, how can you say that you believe he's a very good general manager, but then question whether or not they're trending toward being a championship team? Like, he's good, but if you don't win titles, and maybe they win one this year, and he will be proven right with his with his plan and everything else. My thing is this. And Goody is just, again, if I was the general manager of the Green Bay Packers, it would be a complete train wreck. I'd have the oldest roster in the league. I'd have guys constantly injured. I'd have practice squad guys having to play extensively in key roles because all the best players were on injured reserve. But I think Goody, you know, Aaron Rodgers isn't right all the time, but I think he's right about the, you know, the viewing these guys as commodities in terms of, you know, I'm not, there's not going to be relationships here. He's like Brad Pitt in Moneyball. And so, you know, it doesn't matter what, how you may or may not feel or how the coach may or may not feel about Mercedes Lewis, right? There's a guy that would have come back for another year instead of going to the Bears, right? And for next to no money. But Goody, and probably rightfully so, decided he was washed and didn't the value of his leadership or veteran experience was not as good as getting Ben Sims and having his potential. You know, it doesn't matter how beloved Aaron Jones was. He got a guy who's 3 years younger for more money, but with more upside in coming years. He was right about that, right? I mean, now in fairness to Aaron Jones, he still had a 1,000-yard season. So it's not like Aaron Jones was a stiff for the Vikings, but I just think he divorces himself from the emotions, and good for him, because that job should require that in most instances. But maybe not in all instances. And I'm at the other end of the spectrum where maybe occasionally I wouldn't let my emotions factor into my decision making, but more often than not, I would.
Well, Jason, I was told you may need to go, so I definitely want to keep you on time. So we appreciate the time. It was really insightful stuff.
And a great horn. Thanks, Strofe. All right, guys, take care. Be good.
You would. That's Jason. Okay, all right, I get it. Jason Wilde.
DJ Strofe.
Of Wilde and Tausch. Listening to 9 and across these various stations. Also, check out Road America, conveniently located between Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay, and Elkhart Lake. It is IndyCar weekend, the 19th through the 22nd. If you have not gotten your tickets or don't have plans for this weekend, you still have time. Go to the 14-turn road course where IndyCar is going to be here. Kids 16 and under are free with a paying adult at the gate. This is one of my favorite weekends of the summer when IndyCar comes to Road America. Get your tickets at roadamerica.com. See all the great racers. They had a night race yesterday with some cool pyro out in St. Louis for IndyCar. That's coming right here to Road America in Elkhart Lake. Roadamerica.com. Get your tickets today. I played pickleball with Alex Strofe.
Oh, that had to be a disaster.
DJ Strofe.
DJ Strofe.
I have some thoughts. Next.
This is Kyle Brustin Nortman, KBN.
You throw hands?
Do I throw hands?
With T.O.
Will I? No, I throw hands with Andre the Giant, man.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
I got a message to play pickleball Saturday morning. And then I also got a message of the four people that were going to be playing with me. I'm Ben Bruss alongside Kyle Wallace and Brad Nortman. One of the names on the group text was producer Alex Strofe.
Okay, now, Alex, you're getting a little run in, huh?
Yeah, I play pickleball like every Saturday when I can make it.
Do they call you back after watching you play?
I've been playing for like 7 months now. Yeah?
What would be your self-evaluation? Do you think you're good?
Good's probably strong. I'm definitely not bad.
Okay.
Are you like, could you make a roster of a team, like a little pickup team?
I don't really know how that works considering there's only two people per team.
All I'm going to say is this. The bar has been set really, really low for Alex Strofe. We just put out a video on Twitter at ESPN Milwaukee, which you can find him doing push-ups. I literally don't know how your body, like, you don't have a butt. Like, I don't get that.
That's not real.
We've seen you run a three-cone combine drill. Millions of people have seen that video. It's really embarrassing. We've seen
Thanks
you.
Thanks for saying that, yeah.
We've Man. Seen you attempt to throw a baseball on camera behind the studio, like on stream, and it.
Don't forget to jump.
Don't
forget to
squat.
We've seen you attempt to do squat. Like, you've done nothing athletic in front of any of us.
Good point. Except
He can kind of play pickleball.
Really? Wow.
He can kind of play pickleball.
Did you start by going after him, thinking like,
well, it was actually, I
the answer is yes. He did.
I'm sure he did.
But like, I also struck, his serve was so bad, it was so good.
But
like,
you said he was just good.
But no, I said kind. Remember, there's a kind of in front of it. Kind of. The kind is a big word.
Is the one thing about pickleball I just can't really figure out that well. So I just do something really basic.
It's the most basic thing in the world. And I was just like.
I went on a 7-0 run against Ben.
What is the serve? Is it like an underhand?
Yeah, it's underhand.
It's underhand. But like, so like, I put spin on mine or like, you know, a little bit that way or that way. He just takes the ball. And it's like in beach volleyball when the person just takes the ball and just underhand it and doinks it up in the air. It like confused me because I was like, is this going to do anything? And it's Strofe. I was like, I can't. Like, I'm also impressed the guy on the other side. I was like, it's like one of those. Like, I was just like, this guy can actually do something.
Wow.
At the net.
Wait, he can move?
So at the net, he can do pretty good. But. That's where it gets ugly, is when you said, wait, he can move? He'll hit it, and then if you hit it anywhere near where he has to move, he is cement on the court. He cannot move laterally at all. And when he starts running to try and save a ball, it takes him 8 years to get there.
How do arms and elbows be moving?
But he can't stop.
What do you mean?
There's no break.
Like,
his momentum, which is not moving fast.
He did that in the video.
He can't shift. He can't shift. Like, it's like, all right, stop. He can't come to his halt. He's got a blah, 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 blah. I don't know how to describe you. You're an enigma.
It was a really strange outing because, as Ben mentioned, I play pickleball typically on Saturdays. He typically plays on Sundays with a similar run, like the same people organize it. So we have never played together. And when I saw his name on the text, I went, oh, bleep. This is not good. Right? You know, if I was to have a few too many drinks on Friday, which I did not, usually I'm in pretty rough shape. And I don't play super well. I played fine, but he kept looking at me and giggling. Like from across. It went on for like 40 minutes.
Wow.
Anytime he made eye contact with me, he would giggle. And then we got paired up on the same team. And in my head, I went, I've got a big bro him right now.
Oh,
right?
Wow.
So,
right, oh, my God. I was going to murder him.
He got so mad and it was fantastic.
I was going to murder him.
He kept walking in the wrong spot. So I'd say, hey, Ben, you're up this time.
But, like, I always know where to end up. I just, like it's in the morning. But he'd be like, you know, you're up. I'd be like, I want to murder you.
Oh,
do not tell me where to go.
But Benny, so Strofe was team captain.
But Benny, yeah, he was.
I was. And Benny, when we were on the same team, how'd we do?
Of course we won.
We won.
I won every time.
We were dominant up front together. We were like Sarah Franklin and Anna Schreck from the Wisconsin football team. We were unbelievable.
I will say,
you guys got length, right?
We had everything covered.
He used his length, but if you hit it outside of the realm of his length, there's no stopping that freight
train. But you're a good enough athlete to help, aren't you?
No. But here's the thing.
No, because if it's at him and it's like a quarter of an inch out of his reach, you can't go from the other side and get there.
You put 6'1" Benny and 6'3" Strofe on the same team. I mean, we've got the entire court covered. It was great.
They didn't know what to do.
We were unstoppable.
I was just worried anytime he started running because he can't stop.
Got to make the kid. You got to make Stream Bing move.
But you have hope.
Wow. Thanks, Ben.
Not a lot of hope.
Hope for this sport.
I need Ben and Strofe to enter a tournament together.
Ooh, that's a great idea.
I wonder if we could beat Kyle and Brad.
Neither of them have played.
So
easy peasy.
You know, if Brad and I had a couple, give us three games. By the third game, I guarantee you we'll be
bored. You'd probably need 3 weeks.
I would put $1,000 of my own money that I would not lose to you in a best of three.
We would get a game.
No.
I don't know if we win a best of three. I've never played pickleball. I play wiffle ball.
Like I said, I'll put $1,000 completely
different
right now.
Is it
wiffle
different?
Ball is like
or
baseball.
Paddle ball?
Wait, what? Did he just say wiffle ball?
Wiffle ball is in the or paddle ball. Maybe it's paddle ball with the wiffle ball.
I think. Are you thinking like badminton?
No, paddle ball. We had paddle ball in high school.
This is exactly why it has to put $1,000 of money.
And the holes in the ball?
Holes in the paddle.
Yeah, they had paddle ball. Y'all didn't play paddle ball?
I don't like what you're doing right now. You're making it seem like I'm a charity case, but I'm the second best player on this panel.
Who's better between Ben and Strofe?
Ben.
Brad would catch up to you pretty quick. Just being
he's
a natural
athlete. Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm still not worried about them.
We should do this one day.
I'd feel good about it.
We have to now.
Outing,
but like
we have to get Brad to stay after five though.
But yeah, that's gonna be
depending on a day.
But we're rookies though, Kyle. So that's what makes it hard. These guys play every weekend.
He's been playing for months.
So that's
fair. He still can't move.
Where's your chicken guy, dude?
I'm just saying, like, how do we get up to speed?
We're rookies.
I told you, by game three, game one might be us filling it out. Game two will be more competitive. Game three, we probably had a chance to win.
I would think so, too.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, he had 7 months. He had
2-11 stroke. They won't score more than 5 points.
Oh, yeah. No, they wouldn't.
Maybe not game one, but by game three, like Kyle said.
No, I don't think so. It takes more time than that. You got to learn, like, where to be and spacing.
I don't know. We're both
It's just smaller tennis,
decent,
isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a little bit more complicated than that, but yes.
Wait a minute. So, can a ball hit the ground or no?
Yes, it can.
Does it have to hit the ground?
It does not.
Oh, if the ball can hit the ground,
so you can volley.
It's like tennis in that regard.
Oh,
yes.
Come on now. That's crazy.
Can I hit it anywhere?
No. Inbounds, yes.
Yeah. But I don't, like, have to hit it to Stroh for Ben. I can, like...
I hit it straight down the middle.
Well, no, I'm just going to, like, I'll find your weaknesses and I'll place it.
I'll go straight into Stroh's
body. Look at them. They're already thinking they can place it, Stroh.
Place it. How hard would it be to place it?
Did you not just hear Ben? That doesn't work.
Why not?
Because I'm actually not awful.
No. Okay. All right.
They don't believe you.
No, I don't.
I don't. I'm not surprised.
I don't blame them for not believing
me. Who did you play against? Were they athletes?
People that would have beat you.
No. Were they athletes?
You're not an athlete.
I used to
Brad's
be
an
athlete.
No, okay.
Okay.
You just said you used to be an athlete.
Okay.
How are those knees, Kyle?
I can still move.
Those knees okay?
Oh, Stroh, put him side to side. Okay. That has nothing to do with pickleball. Kyle is... Yeah, you can't... No.
I don't know. Kyle's got a little bit of pop. He's got a little movement.
You don't have to grunt like it's tennis.
I feel good about Kyle.
Why are you on your phone? I need you to be scouting.
I'm scouting.
You're giving him too much confidence. That's the problem.
I'm just not worried about it. I'm glad the takeaway from Saturday was Ben was impressed with me.
Why do you need that much affirmation?
I didn't know. It's not that I need the affirmation.
Self-confidence?
Did you beat Ben when you guys played against each other?
No. He won every game he played.
Yeah, because Ben's a pretty good athlete.
He is a pretty good athlete. He can't turn it off, man. It's a little obnoxious.
Was he?
I actually swore at him at one point, and I immediately regretted it because we were beating him and his partner at the time. I think it was like 7-5 or something like that, and he was starting to chirp me a little bit. So I said, "Scoreboard, bleep."
Oh wow!
What did Ben say to chirp you?
I don't remember. Something pretty minute.
But then
very
you,
minute.
But that's the problem.
And you said scoreboard?
Because he's scoreboarded me.
Because he's
like
not an
idiot.
He's not a competitor.
This is exactly why I beat Jesse Nelson in his own game of bowling.
I was laughing and joking because I knew we were going to lose.
I beat the doofuses.
Wait a minute. You
yelled scoreboard.
Oh, no.
Look at him backtrack.
I think we won that set.
No, that would have been a game. You never won a set.
I think we won that game.
How many games are in a set?
Best of three.
How many sets do you need to win?
Two.
Okay. Also, it's 3-3-3. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Are we going to make this happen, or are you guys going to make all your excuses?
No, I mean, no excuses.
Yeah,
I mean, I'll give it a run. Yeah.
All right, Stroh. It's going to be good for you to be on the W side.
Wait, how long is each set?
10 minutes.
Oh, really? How many?
So a full
15
game
points?
Is what, 30 minutes?
We can do two. We can do... Best of three of a best of three.
Best of three of a best of three?
Yes.
That's 9 sets.
In 10
games?
Set?
9 games.
About an hour and a half? 2 hours?
Yeah. Hell no. This ain't no. What y'all think? The U.S. Open?
That's normal.
U.S.
We played for 2 hours.
Yeah, I got, me and Brad, Brad maybe have 40 minutes. I got about 55. He put in 5 minutes to get ready to get up out of here. You have a time limit, just like kids' games. That's crazy. Y'all really don't have much to do.
The only thing you do is run to all the BOGOs. I can tell you that much. And I will have a new BOGO coming for you on June 18th, so 2 days away from a BOGO. But now's your chance to try Ragu Frozen Pizza from June 12th through the 18th. 2 more days. Try the cheese, the combination, the pepperoni supreme, the inspired crusts are pizzeria style with Ragu-inspired sauces. So your family's favorite toppings. an Italian heritage, and a convenient family food, Ragu, Palermo's, all together at an affordable price. Try the new Ragu frozen pizzas by stopping at Metcalf's today. Also, get your Screaming Sicilians stopped at the local grocer. Have nice four Screaming Sicilians sitting in my freezer right now. Mm. Frozen pizza Friday. Can't come soon enough. We wrap up the ESPN Wisconsin Hour with Ben Brust and Alex Stroph, the athletes of the four of us. Next.
You're listening to Kyle Brust and Nortman, KBN.
Craig Council bobblehead that was given away, and we, you know, just did a nice, soliloquy? Is that the right word?
Yeah, like a montage?
Like a Virgil.
Vigil.
We did a vigil.
Vigil.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Let's get the revenue, boy. Let's get it. So let me know what you can handle. Ready? Okay, come grab it. Here goes some extra. So if I'm busy, you can manage. Fiends, happy bling dance, needing $60 salary. Right, get it there and back. Tell the feds I need a challenge. My first offer was 30 years.
Well, we've had a pull off so far on ESPN Wisconsin. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. This morning, 7 and 9 on 94.5 ESPN. They put out a poll very similar to a poll that I'm going to read in just a little bit here. They since deleted. Dang nabbit. I clicked Jen Latta.
Dag nabbit.
Which and as well deserved. Which NFC
what
North
have you been
quarterback
doing the last 4 minutes?
Has the most.
That's a good question.
Oh, he didn't hear me. He sucks at listening.
What are we going to do the last 4 minutes?
No, I said, what have you been doing the last 4 minutes?
I thought I had it up. I clicked Jen Latta instead of Jen Gabe.
So, no, you didn't think you had it up because you never confirmed you had it up.
All right. Jeez, I got the police on me right now.
Oh, the popo.
Golly. Hall monitor Stroph. You are from the school of Jesse Nelson.
I just like to do our radio show.
Yeah, I do too. And you're disrupting my flow.
No, your flow.
Dang nabbit.
I had a good flow.
Gee golly willikers.
One time when I was on the sideline, I was on the bench, Bo Ryan pulled a Jiminy Crickets. And I was like, what the? Like, he's calling us lots of other things. I never heard that before.
Jiminy Crickets.
Where do these words come from?
Who knows, man? Do you want to ruin the flow?
Well,
you
got 2 minutes left to do a poll.
Jiminy Crickets from Pinocchio.
I got three polls to read.
Yeah, Jiminy Cricket, character in Pinocchio.
So why are we yelling Jiminy Cricket?
Golly, geez, Willicker.
He's trying to not say the Lord's name in vain.
Yeah, it's same initials.
Jiminy Crickets?
Same initials.
Oh, I did not know that.
You did not.
Dag nabbit, same thing.
Goodness gracious.
Wait a minute. Oh, goodness gracious is one I use all the time.
Cheese and rice.
I do Jeepers Christmas. Anybody?
I like that one. I've only heard that.
But you know what?
I think you're defeating the purpose, though, because half of Christmas is Lord's name.
Fair point, Stroph.
Home monitor again on my case.
My favorite one is Sheesh Louise.
All right, what are these called? Because last time we did it this around this time, we were asking all of KBN Nation for Jacob Mizorowski nicknames.
Oh,
and
yes.
They came through with about 100 of them.
Yeah. These are legal expletives, is the way I view it.
Doggone it.
Doggone it.
That's like a Southern football coach.
Doggone
it.
Dang nabbit.
Yeah.
Did we say that one?
Yes, what you said.
That was the origin.
That
of
was
this.
Me.
Yeah,
oh,
that was the
bad
origin.
Sorry, you're right. No flow.
Dang nabbit's like a cartoon character.
It is. Yeah, that's a tough one.
Shucksy Doodles.
Oh, shucks.
I've never heard Shucksy Doodles.
What?
I've
never heard Shucksy Doodles.
Crimey.
You made that one up, pal.
Criminy.
Cripes. Cripes. Oh, cripes.
Cripes. I use cripes all the time.
Cripes.
Instead of using the word
is
the expletive poop.
Oh, yeah.
I just like saying, oh, shoot.
Well,
shoot.
Yeah.
How about like our friends down under? Crikey.
Quikey.
Crikey. Yeah.
Sheesh.
Joe and the Boonies, as one of the biggest Benny believers out there, put your money where your mouth is, Mr. Bruss. My $1,000 will be there. It's just they're not going to match it.
Yeah, I'm not putting $1,000 on a game I've never played before.
Yeah, I've never played it before, so I'm not going to put $1,000.
Weenies. Jim, Matt, Molly, and Madison. The Damn Sports Show in Beaver Dam. I continue on with these cheap people. 2 minutes.